sent that, but.
Only taken from futures.
This. Better.
Not what I want.
Just wait for mine to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the St. Lucie County Fire District Board of Commissioners. It's July 15th, 2026, at 3:00 PM. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Commissioner Martin?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Leonard? Commissioner Clasby?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Johnson?
Present.
Chief Wilson, can you provide the invocation for us? Everyone, please stand.
Thank you. Excuse me. If you wouldn't mind, let's all bow our head while we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather today in this service to our community. Grant this board wisdom, discernment, and integrity as important decisions are made on behalf of the men and women here at St. Lucie County Fire District. Bless our firefighters, paramedics, and dispatchers, and all district personnel. We are grateful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have proclamations and special presentations, promotion recognitions, Chief.
Good afternoon, Board, ma'am, Madam Chair. Thank you for all coming today to the grand opening, Firehouse 19. It's exciting. And with those grand openings and the increase in service to our county and our citizens comes promotions. So I'm lucky to get up here and stand and talk a little bit about each one of these promotions today. We have a little bit of every rank, from captain, lieutenant, down to driver engineer. The first one I would like to talk about is Captain Mark Elliott. He is promoted to captain. He has served as an FTO for many years now. He's worked with me off and on in different capacities, probably since he got hired in, what year was that, Mark? 04. On the special operations team, through the FTO role, spent a lot of time working with Mark. He's worked really hard to provide the service that we all expect from our firefighters for the community, and he's getting promoted to captain. So it's Captain Mark Elliott. The next one would be Lieutenant Chris Martone. Once again, another individual I've worked with many years. He served on the special operations team when I was the captain. He takes a tremendous amount of classes. He travels all over the country, training and learning things and bringing it back so he can teach our people. He's a very big part of the special operations team. I'm sure he'll go back there eventually sometime when there's an opening. But for now, he's going to be guiding our people in the south end of the county as a lieutenant at Station 10. Next will be Lieutenant Justin Hartley, another special operations member. He's been on the team for quite some time. He has been promoted to lieutenant and is going to serve as an FTO in the South End and Tradition, which is also housed with the special operations team. So his expertise on the team could still be helpful as a safety officer on those calls. He also spends a lot of time training. He's kind of a hazmat guru, which there's not a lot of us out there. Most people like the ropes and knots and all that stuff. So we value his knowledge, and we like to keep him around so we can keep learning some of that hazmat stuff. And now we're going to move on to the driver engineers. So the next person we're going to talk about is Rusty Wiles. Rusty and I have probably fought more fire than anyone on this fire department that I've fought fire with. I call him Big Red because he's a lot bigger than me, and he's red all the time. So, and he gave me the ability to do things because he could handle the hose by himself. So I'm very proud to say that he's worked really hard. He's very active in his community as well with his whole family. And he's getting promoted to driver engineer. He's going to be going to the south end, which is not normal for him. He likes the north end in Fort Pierce. I don't blame him. But he's going to serve Port St. Lucie, and I know everybody will be happy to know that he's down there because he can pretty much do anything. You'll see. He's like 8 feet tall. So very proud of him for that. Our next one is Zachary Kruger. He's being promoted to driver engineers also. He is also a current, well, he was a past member of the special operations team as a paramedic. After he got promoted to driver, has been now been appointed to a driver's position that Lieutenant Hartley vacated. So he's back on the special operations team to be able to serve the team with all his courses. He's a rescue specialist, so he's taken all of his operations level classes and his technician level classes, and he has that cert through the state. So a lot of knowledge there. And we like to keep those guys around on the special ops team because there's a lot of things that happen outside the scope of normal activities. The next one is driver engineer Ryan Tang. Ryan Tang, I remember when he was new, and he was very eager to learn, and he's put a lot of time into that learning. And one of the younger promoted driver engineers, but I think he is going to go very far. We've seen a lot of enthusiasm through him, and he's already passing knowledge down to other people that are working with him. And last but not least, Little Sweeney, Drew. I've worked with him at Station 3 years ago, and we talked about, you know, his future and what he wants to do, and he started taking classes and starting stepping up into those roles and learning, and took the test and worked his way into the driver's position, and it's just an opening door for him. He's going to keep going. I know it. He's already talking about the next step, so really proud of him to become a driver engineer as well. And all these positions, from captain, from chief down, require a tremendous amount of studying. The task that it takes to study, the time with your family, taken away from that. So we're really proud of these guys, and like to bring them all up here.
Come on, guys.
You guys stand up. And if the new officers could stay up here, where you at? Everybody else, you can go take pictures with your families.
Yes.
Mark doesn't have to.
No.
Oh, you're already
on. Gotcha.
You're lucky.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that as a state your new rank,
as a lieutenant,
I will support the United States Constitution.
I will support the United States Constitution.
All other legal authorities.
All other legal authorities.
And the rules and regulations of the fire district. I will dedicate my best efforts.
I will dedicate my best efforts.
For the greater good of our community.
For the greater good of our community.
My fellow firefighters.
My fellow firefighters.
And all fire district employees.
And all fire district employees.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to everyone. Appreciate all of your hard work and your dedication to rising in the ranks and continuing on. So thank you all very much for your service and good luck in all of your new roles. Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Chief Gonzalez in the What It Takes to Respond.
All right. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Fire Board members. If we remember several months ago, we had a discussion on for us to be able to create either a flyer or something to put on social media to let our community know and our residents know what it takes to respond as far as how much an engine costs, how much a tower or ladder costs, rescue truck, brush trucks, and so on and so forth. So between some of the members in the train division and also Taylor, they were put together a little video along with a flyer that's in front of you that says what it takes to respond on the front and back. You can follow along where it shows all the prices and everything of all of our apparatus and what it takes. So I just want to give you a little preview of what that video looks like. It's on YouTube right now, and just to get it out there so people can see what it takes to respond.
Of course it did.
Of course it did. Yeah.
Of course it did.
Check.
It sat idle for too long. Someone cut the sound. Who's the IT guy?
Well, while they're working on that, I want to show you the other flyer that you have in front of you. So the plan is to go ahead and push this out. And the other form that's fire district, your tax dollars, your protection. This flyer here, it's a work in progress. We're still working on it. I know Tim has worked on these numbers, and he's working on the numbers, make sure that they're accurate. But what this is going to do is this is what we want to utilize to put out on social media, and also for us to start getting out in the community to let everybody know what this tax referendum, how it's going to affect the fire district. So we wanted everybody, the fire board, to take a look at this and just to see what we plan on doing in the future. Next month, we will definitely have a finalized version of this flyer.
Yes. Just
technology.
Yeah. Email it.
Yes, they did a really good job. And again, the train division and Taylor, our PIO, they spent a lot of time and effort on putting that video together. So, you know, thank you to them. Also, one of the things that we've been working on is our website. I'm going to have Chief Fashan come up here a little bit. He's worked really hard with our IT division on putting this together. So I'm going to let him walk you through it a little bit.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. I'm not sure how familiar you all were with our old website, but it served us well for many years. But It certainly was in need of an update. So yesterday we officially launched, Vicky has it pulled up there, our new website. This was quite the undertaking of a project. The information technology division, specifically Ed Marson, put many, many hours into this. We think it better reflects the fire district and the organization that we are. Looks more professional, certainly more user-friendly. We invite you all to, you know, check the website out. If you have any suggestions, please let us know. But much easier for members of the community and visitors to find what they need. There also will be an AI tool on here that will help them search the site much easier. If people prefer to connect with us via the website, it'll be much easier to do so for them. So we're really excited about it. It was a lot of work to put it together. And yeah, please check it out and let us know what you think about it. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Commendations, Chief?
Just a little
bit. Okay. Moving on to approval of fire board meeting minutes from the regular meeting of June 17th. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Additions and deletions to the agenda?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
There was an email sent requesting to add a review of specific things. I think all the fire commissioners got it. Is there any consideration to adding any of those to the agenda today?
Sable, can you address this, please?
We have a 7-day posting requirement, so that requested item will be on the August regularly scheduled agenda. The request came in yesterday, which is outside of the notice requirement and the agenda posting.
So I don't want to get into a legal battle with you, but anything can be added to the agenda from the dais. We're not voting on it.
Right.
It's a discussion.
My recommendation to you would be trivial matters you can add on a time like this, something as significant as that, if the board intends to take action on it. I think it would behoove this board to proceed the way I've advised and put it on the August agenda so that everyone has sufficient notice.
Could you just detail for us briefly what exactly it is we're talking about adding? I, what is that? Like, could you, for
it was an outside investigation that we partnered with the county to conduct. And so that investigated some room will be on next month's agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So, additions and deletions to the agenda. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Approval of consent agenda. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Before we get to public comments, this board values the input of our community members, residents, firefighters, retirees, and all stakeholders. Public comment is an important opportunity for you to share perspectives on matters within the jurisdiction of the fire district. In order to ensure an orderly, respectful, and efficient meeting for everyone, comments must be directed to the board as a whole and should relate to the business or operations of the district. Personal attacks, threats, profanity, or disruptive behavior will not be tolerated and may result in a speaker being asked to conclude or, if necessary, removed from the meeting. Each speaker will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Please adhere to the time limit so that as many people as possible may have the opportunity to speak. Speakers are asked to state their name and, if relevant, their affiliation with the district for the record. The board will listen attentively but will not engage in dialogue, debate, or respond to comments during this period, as this is not a question and answer session. Any matters requiring board action or follow-up will be considered through the appropriate processes. If anyone has written materials or supporting documents, please provide those copies to the board secretary or the clerk for inclusion in the record. We ask that everyone maintain civility and respect toward one another and the board. Violations of guidelines may result in the chair limiting or ending the speaker's time. With that, we'll now open the public comment period, and we will take speakers in the order that they are signed up or as they are recognized. Thank you for your participation and your support of the fire district.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is there a 3-minute limit?
Yes, there's a 3-minute limit.
Thank you.
Anyone would like to address the fire board? afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are y'all doing today?
Good, how are you?
So my name is Justin Harris. I've been asked to speak today. First, I want to say that your guidelines prevent my First Amendment rights. If I want to cuss or I want to say anything I want to say about any of y'all, I have the rights to do that under the Constitution of the United States of America, regardless of what any of your guidelines have to say. So that's first and foremost. Second is I'm not here today to assign blame or ask anyone to prejudge an arbitration. I'm here to ask the board to consider a much bigger question. How did the organization reach a point where termination became a selective response, and what can we learn to reduce the likelihood of ending up here again? Nobody is perfect. Every one of us makes mistakes. The question isn't whether mistakes happen. The question is whether organizations are designed to catch them before those mistakes become bigger. Strong organizations don't rely on one person to be perfect. They build layers of protections, clear expectations, leadership, communication, coaching, accountability, and a culture where people feel comfortable speaking up before small problems become big ones. When something goes wrong, it's easy to say one person exercise poor judgment, but shouldn't that be where conversations begin, not where it ends? We should also be asking, what did leadership know and when? Were concerns encouraged and fairly reviewed? Did each defense layer operate as intended? Were alternatives to the most severe outcome meaningfully considered? Those aren't attacks on leadership. Those are questions strong leaders ask of their own organizations. Just because something serious hasn't happened before doesn't necessarily mean the system was healthy. Sometimes it simply means other safeguards, good timing, and good fortune prevented all holes from lining up. History teaches us that organizations willing to examine themselves become stronger. Those that don't often repeat the same mistakes. So my question is simple. Regardless of the outcome of arbitration, I ask this board commission to a genuine organizational learning review, not another investigative focus on who is right, wrong, but an honest review of leadership, communication, compliant handling, decision-making, procedural fairness, and whether the safeguards designed to protect this organization are actually working. The goal shouldn't be temporary change. It should be cultural continual improvement, because no individual should ever become the organization's final line of defense, and no employment outcome should ever prevent an organization from asking one simple question: what can we do better today than we did tomorrow? Have a great fucking day.
Would anyone else like to address the fire board? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. My name is Michael Jenkins. I'm a 32-year veteran of the fire district. I retired as a rank of captain about 10 years ago. 10 years of my service was at Station 1, the station that has been involved in a lot of this investigation. First of all, I want to clear up. I want to debunk a rumor going around this fire station. It was Commissioner, you stated last time we had coons being killed at this station. I'm here to debunk that. Here's an email. I'm going to put it into the record. This is from Ron Longchamp that he sent out to me from North Carolina. He picked that dead coon up off the side of the road. He did the prank. It was his video. He don't know how it got into this, but I'm going to put that to rest. There's never, ever been no coon killed at no fire station. I want you to know that. We're all hunters and fishermen. Bitter probably took care of it ourselves. Ain't nobody torture a coon. I want to talk about this job. What this job does to you. What is a firefighter? You know, when I retired 10 years ago, I had a hunt lease, and I used to go drive down the turnpike to go to Kingsville. And every mile marker between here and Yeehaw Junction, I had a face and a story to it. I got to where I couldn't even do it. I had to turn around, come back down Road 60, down 95. And it's a couple years where I could even do that. I would see that visual MI, what happened at that mile marker, and I couldn't do it. I remember a call. A man sent his wife to the store to get some milk. She never came back. She got T-boned, broke her neck, killed her right there on the spot. I was scared to send my wife to the store. I said, no, baby, I'll go to the store. You stay here. The man that had, he sat down with his wife and his three kids. He sat there, and he took a bite. Fell over backwards right in the middle of the floor. We were working on him. He had a massive heart attack, 35 years old. We were working on the guy. Here's his wife, three little kids like this, on their knees praying while we worked on him. That scars you for life. Well, that's why we pull pranks. We pull pranks because you have to survive. That laugh that you get when you go home, that might keep you from hitting your wife, kicking your dog, or doing something horrible to yourself. That's why pranks are pulled. It's all through the fire service. I know firemen all over the United States and across the pond. I met them skiing. Battalion chiefs in New York City, battalion chiefs in Chicago FD. I've told them all these stories. I showed them these videos. They said, you got to be kidding me. We fired somebody for that? Well, anyway, that's where we're at. I would like to know how I'd have to see more death and destruction in a 24-hour period than most people do in a lifetime. That's what these firefighters look at. And we can't have an atmosphere at these stations. The guys are job scared, staring out the window, being stoic.
Sir?
Yes?
You have 16 seconds over. You need to
okay. Chief Lee, you're a good man. I want you to have this job. You still are a good man. I think we need a healing time. We need to go settle this before we go to arbitration. We've got a big fight to fight, Shannon. We got a tax thing coming down. It's going to put a lot of people out of work. We need to fight it together, not singled out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to make a public comment? Good afternoon, Mr. Lowry.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the mic's not on.
Push the button.
There we go. Thank you. I couldn't hardly hear Mr. Jenkins. Thank you, the board and the fire chief and the folks behind me to let me speak this 3 minutes. One thing I like to say, I think you folks know that I've been here about 46 or 47 years in this community. One thing I like to say is we've all worked for different outfits. I worked for an outfit after coming out of the Marine Corps for 34 years. There was always some goofing off, and we always had some serious times. And whether it's the fire department or I work for Florida Power and Light, it's a serious job, too. We're working on from 120 to 500,000 volts, but we always had some kidding around. I just want that the board to understand that. I think the board needs to look at this a little bit further, along with the chief, and try to reconsider about these three gentlemen that were fired. You're talking about three gentlemen that spent their lifetime trying to get to this position. They also have a lot of education that we're throwing out the window. And also with this, you're talking about 25 or 26 years of dedication between the three of them, I believe. They also have 10 kids, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood of these kids coming up under these three dads. And I would just like and hope and pray that the chief would relook at this, and the folks here on the fire board need to look at these videos. I've looked at them, and I think it needs to be reconsidered. And that's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address public comment? Seeing no one, I'll close public comment. Ms. Abel, can you briefly go over the roles of the fire board versus administration quickly?
Yes. The role of the fire board is not to litigate or rule on personnel matters. There's three people in this organization that are employed by the fire board that you have control over their employment. That's myself, the fire chief, and the clerk treasurer. The fire chief is responsible for personnel decisions, not the fire board.
Thank you very
much. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Attorney Sable, is the fire board able to adopt ordinances? Is the fire board able to adopt any sort of binding policy that the chief must obey?
The fire board can adopt resolutions.
Okay. So we can adopt a resolution that sets a policy that the chief has to follow. Is that right?
Well, you can revise the chief's job description. I think it would be an easier approach.
Okay. So we do have authority over the employees' decisions by resolution. And by modifying employment contracts, like you just said.
You can change the chief's job description, but if you change the chief's job description to give the board authority over personnel matters, that would not align with the charter.
Mm-hmm. What about administrative review of actions?
What I would say to you is you have three employees, and if you don't like
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments before we move on? Thank you. Comments from the union representative.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Matt Coney.
Ooh, excuse me. Sorry about that. Vice President, Local 1377. Sorry about that. You're pretty close to your speaker there, Mr. Johnson. I'd like to give you some notes of the last month on the union business with the administration. We have moved into our third cycle of negotiations at this time. We missed our second one due to a loss in the fire district, I'm sure you're all aware of. We just took the necessary time to let everybody grieve and move forward with business after that fire. We have been attempting on the union side to negotiate in good faith still. Baby steps. Still, we've got a lot to address. We are all cognizant of this impending tax reform that's about to come. We're keeping major tabs on our constituents in Tallahassee, and we're getting favorable news sometimes, sometimes not so much, but we're all taking it into consideration. But we still have run 71,000 calls in this county, and everyone's still going to call 911, and we still have the job to do. So we're still very, again, cognizant on good faith. We'll move to disciplines, which is the talk of the town lately. We were unsuccessful in the grievance process to move forward on those grievances, and we have all five are in the process right now as we speak of moving to arbitration. It's the union's position that these were wrongful terminations and wrongful disciplines, and we are moved forward to enforce the contract and move forward. And I just want to address real quick, Madam Chair, just in your closing comments of last meeting, how much money was spent on these things so far. If we go to arbitration, you can easily triple those figures. You got bigger checkbooks than the union, and we were still in a position where we'd love to have a resolution on this. If you haven't seen the videos, please take the time to look at this. This is extraordinarily a frivolous situation that does not need to be before you guys or even on the fire chief's desk. It didn't need to be that far. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're moving on to new business. 14I, proposed millage rate for fiscal year 26-27.
Yes. Yeah, that was going to be, I've got that under the clerk treasurer's report. It's also under new business. I can address it here. This is the, in the form that I'm addressing is attached to the clerk treasurer's report. It's the DR-420. It's the official form that we have to transmit to the property appraiser within 35 days of certification. Typically, there's not an approval required, but in, you know, to maximize transparency, we wanted to present that to the board and clarify that the proposed millage rate that's going to the property appraiser that will appear in the notice proposed taxes that's mailed out to taxpayers, it will indicate 3 mils. And then if the board chooses to do anything at the tentative millage hearing or the final millage hearing, you can lower it at that point. If we went forward with a lower millage rate with the proposed rate, the only way we could raise it in one of the subsequent hearings is through a direct mailing, very expensive process to every taxpayer in the county. And that's typically what's done is the prior year millage rate is used in the proposed rate.
So you don't need any action on this? I usually we take action and we set the rate.
I'd like the board to do a motion to either approve or disapprove the proposed millage rate and submission of the form DR-420.
Thank you. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And the other item was the budget hearing dates, which we've discussed previously. Similar conversation about an approval by the board necessary, an abundance of caution.
Or just stay on the record to that tentative hearing 501 too. And then yes, I would like the board to set or approve the tentative hearing date.
So 501 on Wednesday, September 9th. And then the final is 501 on Wednesday, September 16th.
Is there a motion to set the rates? Set the hearing dates?
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we have no resolutions. Comments by the chief?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank the board for being there at the grand opening just 19 days. Very, very good day for that. I thought it was very, very good.
I do have a clerical thing, the live stream, we've talked about it in the past. I just want to give the board an update on it. The Teams, since the solution that the IT came up with originally is not going to be ADA compliant, so they're still working in compliance with the department in coordination with the county to find another.
Can you give us an update on the next meeting on that?
Yep.
All right, thank you. Comments from the Park Treasurer?
Thank you. We'd like to request a shade meeting to discuss union negotiations, and the some of the outcome of that meeting will result in potential changes to the tentative budget, which will be presented at the August meeting. So we'd want to have a shade meeting prior to the regular August Fire Board meeting. And again, we'll have a presentation on the 26-27 budget at that meeting.
Vicki can reach out about your availability. We'll try to get that executive session scheduled before the August 15th. Is there an appetite to have it prior to August 15th meeting? Since I guess your calendars are built around that day, and you'd already be here to start, say at 2 o'clock, have an executive session, and then to the Fire Board meeting at 3.
What's the date? Not August 15th. That's a Saturday.
I was going to say, that's a Saturday.
Yeah. We'll I'll be in Florida League of Cities.
The 19th.
The 19th,
yeah.
Okay.
For me, that's easier.
That's easier. I can.
That would work.
Yes. Okay. And for the 19th of August, we'll send something.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. And I just wanted to also point out that we've added another section to the Clerk Treasurer's report. Firefighter overtime and mental health day MOU, the monitoring that's required there. If anyone has any questions on it, I'd be glad to answer. It's pretty straightforward, providing a tracking of actual expense to budget. And we're well under budget currently. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Sable, do you have anything?
No, that's perfect. Thank you.
Comments from the board? Anyone have anything?
Okay. Madam Chair?
Yes.
So the last meeting, I told you guys I was going to provide the Fire Board the reporting officer narrative. So I'm going to ask the secretary, I guess, to hand this to the board members. And I give you one for the record, too.
The record just passed down?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll just pass it. So this was the police officer narrative that shows that Chief Gonzalez and Lee approached the Fort Pierce Police Department to conduct an investigation, and the resulting findings were based on my investigation. I found no criminal matter behind the alleged hazing. In the videos I observed, I found coworkers entertaining each other. Although they chose unusual activities to engage in, they were ultimately done by their own will and had no malicious intent. All individuals originally listed as victims advised are not victims and wish not to continue the investigation. The fire department will be conducting its own investigation in regard to this matter. The case will be unfounded at this time. So this is just that. And then in addition, at the last meeting, the attorney mentioned that the fire district was not in possession of this document. The records at the Fort Pierce Police Department, I stopped by today. They indicated to me that the fire district, Brian Gonzalez, picked up the records on 4/16/26, and then again yesterday 7/14/26. I would like the board to take a minute to read through this and offer some commentary.
Ms. Sable, do you want to go over policy versus criminal activity?
Well, this is Commissioner Common. I'm not looking for legal's opinion on this. This is the board's.
I asked as the chair for Ms. Sable to differentiate between criminal activity and fire district policy, just so everyone's clear and we have clarification on what the differences look like.
Right. Police officers need probable cause to file criminal charges. The burden of proof is extremely high because probable cause leads to a trial. State attorney has to prove that case. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not the evidentiary standards required in an employment matter. It's preponderance of the evidence.
Okay, thank you. I have some more comments. So has any of the other board members had a chance to see these videos? I'm told that it was part of a studying exercise. When they got an answer wrong, they shocked themselves with a 9-volt battery shocker. And if you were to watch the videos, it is not hazing, in my professional opinion. And I think that the fire chief has a fiduciary responsibility to not take this to arbitration and come to a peaceful resolution prior to save the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially, and the local for that matter. There's lots of other issues that they need that money for, and this is not one of them. I would really ask the chief if he could do something to come to a peaceful resolution and we just get past this. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I would like to say congratulations on Station 19. Let's do some positive. Great station, beautiful. It was hot. I stayed to go on the first ride. I continue to be the white cloud. So no calls. The only ride I got was in the bucket. But it was a great group of firefighters. Congratulations, and be safe and have fun and enjoy, and I'll be back.
You know you will. It was a great opening today, and very proud of everyone. It took a lot of hard work and determination and everyone working together to get Station 19 open. And I said it today earlier. I think we all said it today.
Yes.
And just thank everyone again for all their hard work. And so we can continue to serve our community in the best way we all know how, with professionalism, with grace, and being able to have the most amazing fire district and all of our employees continue to go out and serve our community very professionally and doing the very best, because I believe all of our firefighters do the very best. All right, we have termination of excused absences, and that is would be for Commissioner Leonard for last month. So is there a motion?
Move approval. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Or adjourn?